You solemnly swear the evidence you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Welcome to Crime Time with Vito Colucci, P.I.
Come on, Johnny, you might as well talk. Who robbed that payroll truck?
I've read the case files, have you?
This sure gives an airtight alibi.
Crime Time is heard exclusively on Biz Talk Radio. Check out podcasts of our shows or listen live at biztalkradio.com. And now, your host of Crime Time, Vito Colucci, P.I.
Well, good evening, everybody. Sunday night, Biz Talk Radio, Crime Time with Vito Colucci, P.I. We hope everybody's doing good. Thank you, everybody, for the calls and the emails to me, how you're liking the show, and I think it's going very good. We've had great guests on. And again, like I tell everybody at the beginning of the show, this is a no politics zone. So whatever you feel in politics, don't say it on the show because you'll be cut off. All right. But anyway, you want to hear that stuff, go on TV or radio. You'll find a lot of yelling at each other, but not here. We're here to talk about crime and many other things sometimes. Okay, our guest tonight is a friend of mine that I've known for many years. Her name is Delilah Jones. And Delilah owns a small boutique social media management and assistant agency. It's called Imagine Publicity. It was founded in 2008. She has represented many clients as individuals and from all walks of business. Also in 2008, Delilah became a volunteer for Community United effort known as CUE, Center for Missing Persons. She is currently a South Carolina outreach coordinator, and she's going to be talking about heavy-duty stuff about the missing kids and everything like that. Welcome, Delilah Jones, to the show.
Hey, Vito. We were talking earlier off air that this is, what, my third appearance that I've been on your show over the years that you've
over
been
the years and years and years.
Yeah.
I think so I was in high school when I started the show. Yeah.
So.
Well, welcome again. You know, reading your stuff again and reading about, you know, we'll be talking about it all, 800,000 missing juvenile cases reported each year. Oh, my God, runaways. But, you know, this is the heavy-duty stuff. Imagine Publicity, though. Let's start with that. What do you do for your clients in Imagine Publicity?
Well, you know, I do whatever they want me to do. I, you know, wear many hats. The agency itself, you know, wears many hats. We do a lot of different things depending on what that particular client needs. When we take on a new client, we pretty much assess everything that they're already doing and
right.
what needs to be done for future success. And we sort of tailor the programs and strategies towards what they need.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. And you've been doing that, I guess I said before, about 2008? You started
That's
it?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I've had the privilege of working with a lot of different authors from Diane Fanning, who's very well known in the true crime
sure.
book world.
Yep,
I even helped you a little bit there with Rogue Town.
Right, and I thank you for that. And Diane Fanning, sure, I've done in the past. I had her on my show, and I also did some TV shows, I think, with her. So, yeah, she's great. And now, how about podcasts for Imagine Publicity on the air?
Well, I do Imagine Publicity on Air, which I started up to feature some of the authors. And I've also worked very closely with Wild Blue Press and their authors. Whenever, you know, someone has a new book come out, we try to promote it through podcasting and putting it on our websites and just to give that person more exposure. So
right.
it kind of started that way. And then I had some people approach me who had issues that they wanted to get out there. So using it more as a marketing tool rather than looking to get famous as a podcaster, it's worked out really well for the people who have done that. And I've also been very privileged to produce a lot of shows for different people. I produced some shows for Sally Spencer Thomas, who is she's very well known in the suicide prevention arena, and I produce a lot of them for the Inside Lens Network, Crime Wire, Transparency Project, Shattered Lives, right. And then my own show as well.
Wow. Now, over here, we have Q History and Mission. Q, again, ladies and gentlemen, like I said at the beginning, is Community United Effort. Q, C-U-E, Center for Missing Persons. And this is so, reading this again and being a former police officer and now 30 years exactly being a PI, private investigator, you know about these things, but unless you're like Delilah is down and dirty and they're working for this, you don't really realize. Q was founded in 1994 in Wilmington, North Carolina by Monica Kaysen, who I know, great lady. And their mission is to join efforts with all concerned seeking closure of tragedies as we remain in search of the missing. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about Q and the great stuff that they do?
Well, you kind of covered all the background. We're coming up on our 25th anniversary, 25 years. Q has been in existence and working with families of the missing, not only in awareness campaigns and advocating with the families. Also, that includes being a liaison with law enforcement agencies, because a lot of these families, as you can imagine, when something like this happens in your family, you're not always thinking straight. You want answers and you want them right now. And a lot of times someone who has had more experience with the type of situation you're in is able
right.
to get the information for you in a different way. So
right.
we
right.
work a lot with a lot of the law enforcement agencies across the country, actually. And I think to me, the biggest advantage, I guess, of our organization is our closeness to the families. We stick with those families through whatever the outcome might be. We're still there. I mean, I've gone on searches where we've unfortunately found the person deceased, and we make a point to make sure that we have representation at a funeral, just so that the family knows that we're still there to help and comfort them and whatever that they need.
Right. Now, services are free to the families, I heard. Is that true?
Yes. That's
okay.
correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, it's a great effort I see here. Why don't you talk about some of the stuff that you guys do after services are free to the families? Tell the listeners what else you do.
Well, the most important thing we do is our searches. And
right.
whatever the particular case warrants, that's what we'll do. When you get called out on a search, depending on your level of expertise, we have a lot of very well-trained search personnel. Their animals are well-trained and certified. We do a lot, you know, if it needs ground, air, water searches, we have the equipment to do all that. We can pull together a team very quickly in a lot of different locations. It doesn't mean that we're only in a specific location. We're able to get volunteers. We're able to get resources. We're able to get law enforcement. So in a pretty quick way, I mean, I've seen this, Monica, pull something together, and it just amazes me how it all comes together so quickly.
Right.
There's a picture of a search they did out in Texas, and I'll never forget this picture. It's just such a huge impact where the Texas Rangers came to help.
Wow.
And the picture is all of these Rangers on horseback on the horizon, and Monica and the team standing down below. So you can imagine the impact that has.
Great organization, the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
Great organization.
Yes.
They've been around forever. And I notice you have on here liaison with law enforcement. That's very important. I do so many cases, ladies and gentlemen, where you know, sometimes after a short while, I'm hired by the families, let's say, to get involved with it. And very few times do I get, well, you know, the police saying, don't get in my way, don't get in our way over here. Most of the time, and thank you that I've heard that they tell me, you know, that they've heard about me, so to speak, and that opens it up a little bit more. And they realize, like I tell them, we work hand in hand. We work parallel with the police department. As soon as we get information, we give it to the police departments. And we're going to head right now to a hard break. So everybody stand by. We'll be right back with Delilah Jones.
Better place, and I miss you.
Jones and Jones, maybe this was a first wife of Tom Jones many years ago. We don't know. I'll have to get my best people on this and see if Delilah was the first wife of Tom Jones. I think that'll only take about a couple of seconds, right, Delilah, to figure that out?
Well, let me tell you, if I was, I probably would maybe making a lot more money than I am today.
Oh, thank you very much for bringing that up. I have my $8 here to pay you. Jeez. Boy, oh boy, what do you want? But anyway, I'm learning a lot today, as usual, when I have a lot of my different guests on. What is this missing persons presentation? It's called, it says Video the Searcher. What is this, and who sees this, and when?
Well, this is some notes that I had put together for a presentation that I did for an organization here in my city. And the video is a sizzle reel, actually, for television show that was in production.
Oh, okay, interesting. How many hours or days a week? I know there's not an average; it depends how busy you guys are. But how much time do you think you sink into Q with having, you know, your other businesses to take care of too? You know, Imagine Publicity, great business, ladies and gentlemen. If you need help with any of your publicity and somebody representing you, at the end of the show, Delilah will give you her contacts, and you can talk about that afterwards. But how much time do you put in on this?
As a volunteer, it depends. You're absolutely right. It depends on what your role in the organization is. And believe me, the point that I want to drive home to anyone who is even slightly interested in this issue or would like to volunteer, your talent is important. No matter how small you might think it is, it's important. You may hold the little tiny piece of the puzzle that we need to get a complete picture. So, some people feel like they don't have enough to give or enough time, enough talent, whatever that might be, but that's not true. Just step on in and we will find something for you to do. We will find your talent for you if that's the case. And we have been very fortunate in being able to collect a lot of people who volunteer a lot of their time. Our searchers are all volunteer. Everyone is all volunteer. No one gets a paycheck in this organization, not even Monica Kaysen. So everyone is a volunteer. And, you know, I can say she's on it 24/7. The rest of us, we do as much as we very possibly can.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. That's good. The donations Do you try to set a goal each year, or you work with whatever's given to you? I could imagine some years you get more money than other years.
Well, that's true of just about any nonprofit, and it's very important. We're run totally on donations. We do not answer to any government agency. We don't take government money. Everything is done by private donations. So any small donation, large donation, we've started, especially for the new or for the 25th anniversary, we're starting something new, and the campaign will be rolling out here pretty soon, where if you sign up $25 a month for our 25th year anniversary, that goes a long way for us. And the more people that we can get to sign up on a regular monthly donation, which, you know, $25, that's a dinner out. So it's not that much coming out of your pocket, but it does a lot for what we can do. We can budget more efficiently. We can see where we're going to need to do bigger fundraisers or smaller fundraisers. So it helps us a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot of ladies, as usual, for a lot of shows that listen to my show. And folks, whether it's a guy or a lady listening to this, it's a great cause. If you need to sink some money into something, this is it. And I have found with a couple of people I talked to, I even sent a lady from Darien, Connecticut to you guys several months ago. I guess I forgot if that was to who, and helped talk to her. And what I hear is basically the same thing. You know, me and my husband sat down, and, you know, I asked if I could do, you know, two days a week and do that work with the organization, with Q or whoever needs me. And it's not like, you know, nowadays you got to be political correct. You know, everybody watches. What do you mean that, you know, she sat down with her husband and asked him? Well, as a family, sometimes that's what people do. And, you know, they it's on their heart. Many people have told me this has been on my heart for years. I need to go out and help this cause and do what I can. Have you heard that from new people before?
Well, yes and no. You know, basically we don't say we need you 2 days a week or 3 days. It's whatever you can give. That's kind of what we're looking for in volunteers. Now, within the, you know, the Q offices, she has people who do come in and help her there. There's also people who help coordinate the searches. There's people who help in all different aspects of running the organization. So it's we will take whatever you're willing to give, whether it's an hour a week or whether it's 5 days a week. We'll take it.
Right. Okay. That sounds very good. It's a great cause. And read your mission. That's here. I'd rather have you read the mission under the Q History and Mission rather than me.
Oh, the mission is to join efforts with all concerned seeking closure of tragedies as we remain in search of the missing.
I remember saying to, over the years, some other people involved in this organization as well as others, and I asked them, I said, wow, I mean, this is such a tough thing. You got to really have your heart into this because, you know, you get involved in a search and then all of a sudden, you know the end result a lot of times could be the body is found. You know, and that's hard right there. And but maybe only because you guys were involved, and I forgot the name of the other fellow that works with the helicopters. He's on TV all the time. I've done shows with him. He's a great guy. But, you know, maybe just because of your help, that allows you to go back to the family afterwards and talk to them about, you know, rather than the police jargon, you know, to explain to them what happened. We'll stand by you guys through the process and this and that, you know. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after we come back from our next break, okay? So stand by. We'll be back with Delilah Jones.
Why, Delilah? I could see. The street to
her house and she opened the door.
What's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can't shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise.
The sound of Plain White Tees singing Hey There Delilah. Beautiful song. I love this song when it came out. And I know our guest loves it too. So, Delilah, how quick was that for you?
That was great. Thanks for taking song requests on your show too. This is fun.
Now, I know. You know, I get a lot of comments about that. They give me free rein to pick out the songs. Sometimes Brandon throws in one or two, too, and we combine to do, you know, mostly going by what the guest does or different things about them. But this is your name, okay? Beautiful song. All right, we are back. Enough about Plain White Tees. We've given them enough commercial time here. All right, missing persons. As serious a discussion as anybody can have. How did the, it says missing persons, how do they go missing? Abductions. Read that paragraph about abductions here, the three or four lines there, please.
Okay, well, this I honestly and truly, I got these figures somewhere, but I don't have the link to where I got them, but I think they're pretty right on. It's just
okay.
Half of the 800,000 missing juvenile cases reported each year are runaways. Now, that's reported. Okay, remember that. We don't necessarily have 800,000 totally missing people. We do have around the neighborhood of 600,000, so we're not too far off. So out of those 800,000 cases reported, a quarter of those missing children cases are abductions, usually by family members in a custody dispute. And to bring it on down, only about 100 are kidnapping by strangers.
Wow.
Because people see these numbers and they kind of freak out and they think, you know, you can't let your kids out because someone's going to come by in a white van and snatch them out of the neighborhood. And in reality, it's not that way. There's, you know, out of all of those, a very low percentage of children who are actually kidnapped by strangers. Now, these figures may change because there's a lot of information coming out about children being lured into human trafficking and other nefarious things. So, and that's a totally different thing. It's not necessarily an abduction. It's someone being lured away from where they are supposed to be.
Wow. And of course, then sometimes we forget about the people with dementia or how's that word? Say that word, will you please, for me?
Intellectual disabilities.
Intellectual disabilities.
Yeah.
We forget about that, but that's counted in when we see, and it happens all the time, wherever you're living, you'll see a quick thing. If you see this man, usually a lot of times during their 70s or even 80s, and they've walked away and they can't be found, and they're on all these medications that keep them alive, and that becomes very important to locate them right away.
Well, it definitely is, and one thing I'll say is each case is looked at in its difference, okay? Two cases are not alike. And in cases where there's dementia or intellectual disabilities, those cases need to be handled in a different way. The search is done in a different way. So you have to hone in on exactly what you're doing when you come to, let's say, an autistic child. That's totally different than going searching for, any other child. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration when you're planning a search, either by law enforcement or our people and our resources.
Right, and an interesting paragraph you do have here, it's called voluntary missing.
Yes.
All right, people intentionally go missing for usually two reasons, money or danger, and I like what you put next. Men usually leave because of money, and women leave because of danger. While the bulk of intentional disappearances were once men, more and more women choose to bail out too. And you got a lot of reasons for there, a lot of reasons for that situation, you know. Somebody's missing and it seems to have a hint of somebody was murdered. And you know, it cracks me up as an ex-cop and somebody that's worked many of these cases over the last 20 years. You see the shows on television and Mary Smith is disappeared. She has disappeared, okay? She's going through a horrible, horrible divorce. There's been slapping and hitting of her and a lot of bad things happening to her. And the husband just added a $600,000 policy a month or two ago to their life insurance. And, you know, he thinks he can do something with his wife, get rid of her, have somebody get rid of her, throw her in the ocean, and he thinks that it's just going to stay like that. And they don't realize, well, you just took a $600,000 policy out, okay? You're facing a divorce, a bitter divorce. The wife has said, I'm afraid for my life. And, you know, you've made half of the case already for the investigator. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, when you bring that up, and I think, you know, this warrants some discussion, too, is there are a lot of good citizens out there that can offer police agencies and law enforcement agencies good evidence, good information. And I think there needs to be a little bit more communication between those two entities to help solve some of these cases a little bit quicker.
Do you guys seem to get good results when you go into a police department?
Yeah,
as far as telling them you're working, you know, you're working on some cases. Yeah. We just want to help you. You know, we're another set of eyes and ears.
We usually do.
Right.
We usually do. And you know, over the years, we've been able to build very good relationships with law enforcement agencies all across the country. So, you know, if a call goes out and, you know, this is another thing that I think your listeners need to know. We can't just come in because you want us to go look in that pasture over there. It's a different process. There is a process, and you need to go, if you have a missing loved one, go to our website and register your case. Of course, first thing you need is the police report. But everything is on our website as to what you're going to need to register the case and how we can start getting the ball rolling for you.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on our last segment, too, to let the people know what they can do and how they can, you know, talk to people at Q or you or whatever is going on. Nowadays, though, Delilah, what I see a lot going on from cases in the paper and even on TV, true cases, women are getting so much involved in this, in the sense of a lot of times now, they try to, let me use the Italian term, they try to get their husband whacked. They want to hire somebody to kill their husband, and a lot of them just do it. They got the gall of just taking a gun out and right face to face, looking at somebody you're married for 40 years, just shoot them dead. And it's just amazing. And you see these people in court when the sentence is given down, no blinking, they just got a stone face to doing these things, and that's incredible what we see now. We see a lack of humanity on a lot of these people, right?
Yeah, I think that crosses many boundaries. I think we have a lot of psychopaths and sociopaths out there that, you know, they have no regard for human life, and they go blank. That's what you're saying.
That's a good word right there. They go blank. They just don't care. And you know, they hire a hitman who is always a cop, you know, because that's a chance for somebody sitting in jail to say, hey, you know, I heard that this lady, blah, 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 wants to get her husband killed, looking for somebody to do it for her. You know, that's when somebody gets wind of that. Maybe that guy that gives the police the message gets a little time taken off his sentence. And they got the cop that meets with the lady. Here's half the payment now, and after you do everything. But, the police have done it a really cool way. They set up, I'm sure you've seen it, they set up that crime scene where they put the husband laying down with the fake blood all around him and everything else messed up on the scene, and because that's what they're supposed to show her. She wants a picture. Imagine that. She's not happy enough to know that her husband's dead. Shot many times, but she wants to see a picture of it, you know? So we're gonna be coming back with Delilah Jones. We got a lot more to talk about, and also how do you reach Q and everything else of that matter. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. Hey there, Delilah.
Another summer day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome, but I want to go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. I want to go home. Oh, I miss you, you know.
To the beautiful sound of one of my favorite songs. Want to go home? Simply titled Home, if you're looking it up. By I need help with the name here again. I forgot this name. Blake Shelton. All big 6 foot whatever of them. Beautiful song, though. I really heard that song. I was, to be honest with you, I was doing a mini tour with a famous singer, and our last stop was in New York coming back home. It just couple cities in the east, Boston, Philly, New Jersey. And I'm not one to travel, of all things. I love those kind of jobs like that. But, you know, this one night near the end, I'm in my hotel room that they put me up in, and I got out because I was hungry, went to this little, right on downtown New York, went and got something to eat, sitting in the back, and that song came on. I realized I just want to be home. I just want to be home. I like to work, but I'm not that type of a guy. So anyway, that's my little history about that song. You like that song too, Delilah? Have you heard it?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a great one, right?
Shelton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yep, very nice. Well, listen, let's talk some more over here. You know, so many other things you guys do. Suicide must be tough because you got to deal with parents and all that stuff. I have noticed, Delilah, anytime I get a suicide case, okay, and this is how parents are, so I'm not knocking them, okay? I'm hired because they do not believe that Johnny or Mary would kill themselves. There's no chance of that happening, they say. And unfortunately, you know, the police have already told them that, but now they want to bring in me and my staff to kind of, you know, go through it again. And even if we come up with that same result, they thank me and they say, well, I still don't believe it. Have you found that with any of your stuff?
Well, we don't really get into the cause of death and all of that with what we do on our end. That would be totally up to the law enforcement agency in charge. We preserve the evidence when we're out on a search and there's evidence found, whether it be remains of body, bones, whatever the evidence might be. We do our best to preserve that. We mark it, we GPS it.
Right.
Then law enforcement comes and they start their chain of command in taking the evidence in.
Oh, interesting. Why don't you, I want you to, the myth. You have something here said myth, and this is surprising to me, so I'm going to learn something now. Read that out to the public so they know what is legal and not legal here, or whatever.
Well, I think it's probably one of the biggest myths out there about reporting a missing person and where it comes from. I think television, I think there's a lot of law enforcement agencies out there who create their own policies, but there is no law anywhere that says you have to wait any time whatsoever before a law enforcement agency will take your report. You'll hear 24, 72, 48 hours, whatever. No. If you have everything you need for them to take that report right then and there, then demand that they take it. Don't leave until they do. Then what you want to do is be sure that they know or they have entered it into NCIC and CODIS properly. And even into NamUs, it's important to get all of that information into these databases, because then other law enforcement agencies who share these databases can come together and hopefully resolve the case a lot quicker.
And I can tell the folks out there listening that this kind of a made-up law, let's say, happened because as a police officer, you get people walking in every day. Well, I never understood this. Mary didn't come home last night. She never does this. And meanwhile, maybe Mary met a boyfriend or something, or she's doing something else that is not pleasing to the parents, but she's doing it anyway. So right away, they've gotten so many things, and then a simple call back an hour later, oh, Mary's home and blah, blah, blah. So that was their logic, I can tell you, for starting this. No, it's got, let's wait. Maybe they went to Atlantic City with her girlfriends and she just didn't have a chance to call home or something like that. They've seen so much of that. But still, I agree with you, because if my kid goes lost for a night and they've never done it before without that phone call, that every time 12 o'clock I definitely get a call and things of that nature. So that's a very good one. I think that's one of the most important things of the show. Tonight,
well, in
your
background in law enforcement, you meet up with a lot of habitual runaway cases, and I do totally understand that aspect of why law enforcement agencies would want to wait, because you do have kids that are habitual runaways. But what you have to think about is this: a runaway is either doing one of two things. They're either running away from something or they're running to something.
Most kids
don't just pack a sandwich on, and hit the railroad tracks like you might think so. It doesn't work that way. They usually have somewhere to go. They have people who are waiting for them. And by being on the streets, especially underage kids, you're putting them in a very dangerous situation. They become much more vulnerable for any other type of crime to be committed against them.
Well, before we run out of time, Delilah, quickly tell the folks how they can reach out to Q, how they can reach out to you. Give them a number, a website, before we run out of time here.
Sure. Q Center for Missing Persons. The website is NC, that's Nancy Charlie, missingpersons.org. We have a phone number that you can on the website that if you need to call in a tip, or if you need to register your case, you can call in a 24-hour hotline number. So we're always available 24/7. If you need us, we're there. If you're interested in social media management, you want some help in that area, I can be reached on my website, imaginepublicity.com. There's a contact form there. My phone number is 843-808-0859.
Okay, very good. I'm sorry I have to cut you off here. We're at the end of the show. Delilah Jones, thank you very much. And folks,
thank you for tuning
in tonight. We'll be doing this again with Delilah down the road. Okay, thank you. We'll talk to you next Sunday.